We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff here. I wanted to read to you from Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The Bible also says in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, perhaps you have been following the news and have seen that the court has unsealed documents with names associated with the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. And I was watching a news clip just a little bit ago, and it said that many elites in our society are very nervous because their names are going to be exposed as having some kind of a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, just because you have been seen in a picture with this guy or at a party with this guy or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that you yourself are a pedophile. But if you've been on his plane, if you've gone to his island in the U.S. Virgin Islands that was dubbed by people in that region as Pedophile Island, Sin Island, where he would take young women and girls and there would be all kinds of abuse taking place, just horrific things. You're in big time trouble. And so I woke up today, I was thinking about that. Be sure your sin will find you out and you do reap what you sow. I was at a funeral yesterday for a very, very good friend of mine, so I was away from the microphone. I think give a big shout out to Alex McFarland for filling in for me. I appreciate that. But Tuesday, we had talked about the kind of the first program of the year, first live program of the year. We had talked about having a word and maybe a scripture verse that was going to be your guiding principle for the year and something that keeps you centered on true north. And we had a caller call in, and he had mentioned the scripture verse, the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes. And those are key verses, because Ecclesiastes is an interesting book where the writer, Solomon, goes on a search for satisfaction. And it's basically the book of Ecclesiastes, if you sum it up, because it has that phrase in there that many people have trouble with. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, all is vain, all is empty, all is a waste. And it's like, good night, why is that in the Bible? Well, Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes went on a search for satisfaction, and he did it under the sun. He left God out, left heaven out, and said, I'm going to search what is available to me to find satisfaction in life, real, lasting peace and joy and satisfaction, but I'm going to do it under the sun. And Solomon tried all sorts of different things. He had a mind that God gave him that was like the sand of the seashore, and he tried to test himself with pleasure. He tried wine and he tried women. You know, he's the guy that had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends in case one of the wives had a headache. Sexual immorality off the chain, his building projects and putting himself to work, amazing. All the things that this guy had and did, and his money, you know, money doesn't buy happiness. Solomon learned that. He who has money will not be satisfied with money, he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Well, he ends the book by saying this, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Now, in one of these news reports that I saw about the Epstein client list, that a court unsealed the names, and this guy said, there are a lot of elites very nervous right now because they had an association with Jeffrey Epstein. They were on his plane or they went to his island, and they are very scared that they're going to be outed. And that made me think of the situation back in 2015. I think it was 2015. When somebody hacked the website called Ashley Madison, it was an adultery website, and they boast that they have 65 million members, subscribers, 45 different countries. I don't know what they boasted they had in 2015. That's what they boast they have today. But somebody hacked into their database, and they started dumping all these names of people that were on this list. And you could go and see, and churches had pastors, deacons, elders, staff members whose names were on there. And one man in particular was an adjunct professor at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, very well loved, had a wife and kids, and seemed like a very upstanding man. Well, he got exposed as having his name on there. He could not stand the shame and the embarrassment, and he ended up killing himself. It was terrible. It was awful. I saw an interview with his wife and kids, and she said, hey, no matter what had happened with my husband, we could have worked it out. We would have talked. We could have gone to counseling. We could have done something. But, you know, suicide is always the most selfish act that someone can commit. It's an act of, I hate to say it, but it's true. It's just an act of cowardice. I can't face the music, so I'm going to go kill myself. It's, you know, when somebody does that, it's just selfishness to the nth degree. The world, they believe a lie. The world would be better off without me. There is no hope. And I just need to go kill myself. Listen, God is the God of hope. And regardless of what your situation is and what sin you've committed, there is hope and there's forgiveness in the Lord. But that took place, and many, many people were being outed back in the day in 2015 with the Ashley Madison thing. And it just goes back to that verse in Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. God sees everything you do and everything I do. And we're not going to get away with things. We're not going to beat God. We're not going to skate under the radar, so to speak. You know, Ravi Zacharias, he hid things for a long time, his sexual immorality, but it came out, and it brought such tremendous shame to his wife, to his family, shut down the ministry. He was living a dual life. He was living a lie. And we need to remember that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Now, when the scripture says that in Galatians chapter 6, it's very easy to understand. That's very easy to follow, this idea of reaping and sowing, because that's just true in agriculture, and it's a basic truth. You reap, I reap what you and I sow. We reap what we sow. If you sow in your garden watermelon seeds, you're not going to reap a crop of cantaloupes. You reap what you sow. A watermelon seed will reap watermelons, provided everything comes out all right. Cantaloupe seed produces cantaloupes. If you plant tomato seeds, you get tomatoes. You don't get something else. You reap what you sow. and you always reap more than you sow, because one little watermelon seed can have lots of watermelons that come from that one seed. The famous statement says, any fool can count the seeds in a watermelon, but only God can count the watermelons in a seed. And so you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. You don't plant on Tuesday and reap a crop on Wednesday. It takes time. And so why do people do the things that they do? Why do they sow to the flesh and feel like there are no consequences? Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. I was listening to a message this week by John MacArthur. He's talking about truth. And I'm starting a series about at church that'll start this Sunday. I'm talking about the truth in a sea of lies, in a world of lies, because that's what is going on in America today and in our world today. But then we're going to talk about the next week, the truth about. And I'm going to do a six-part series on the truth about different things that are hot-button topics in our world. And what does God say about it? Because the word of God is truth. Jesus said, John chapter 17, sanctify them, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we get truth from the word of God. That's our true north. And so that keeps us, all of us have a tendency, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, and we have a tendency to drift off of true north. And so we come back to church, and all scriptures inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scriptures inspired by God, literally God breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, fully equipped for every good work. We come to church and we are reminded again, this is true north. And one of the things that John MacArthur said, I thought it was really interesting. He said, you know, people understand about certain laws in the physical universe. For instance, the law of gravity. They know that that is a law. That's an inviolable law. I mean, you're not going to beat the law of gravity unless you're in an airplane or something like that. You have to have something to overcome that law. But if you go on top of a 20-story building and jump off, they know that you're going to fall to the ground to your death. That's just, it doesn't take a whiz bang to figure out, don't do that, because that will cause your death, and it'll be very immediate. From the time you leave the top of the building, those few seconds until you hit the ground, that's the rest of your life. Now, somebody was asking a man at a skydiving place. They were doing training before they went out on the plane, and they said, well, what happens if my chute doesn't open? He said, well, it will be the last trip of your life, because you're going to hit the ground and you're going to die. And so we understand that in the physical world, you can't overcome those things, and the consequences are immediate. But here's the thing, in the spiritual world, God has fixed consequences. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. You will reap. But in the spiritual, you reap later. Just like in agriculture, you reap later than you sow. And it's not immediate. If people sinned and immediately there were consequences, they would be very leery of that. But we don't have immediate consequences. You have eventual consequences. You have inescapable consequences. Be sure your sin will find you out. What do we do with that? Because, hey, you have things in your life. I have things in my life. We have all sown at some time or another to the flesh, and we have committed sin in the darkness, and we hope it doesn't get exposed to the light. What are we supposed to do? Numbers 32:23 is a scary verse. Be sure your sin will find you out. Well, we're going to talk about that. What to do when you have sown to the flesh, what to do when God exposes what you've tried to cover up. What is the solution to our problem? Because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and God is holy, 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 and we have to face a holy God one day. What do we do? What is the solution? Well, the solution is the gospel. The solution is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we will be right back after the break. Don't go away. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. The eyes of the Lord, Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. You know, the Lord has built into this, the fabric of this world, and built into sin, as sin has its own corrupting influence. And if you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption. You know, I think about how people try and hide their sin, and all of us have sin. That what are we going to do with this? So men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. We like to put that stuff in the darkness. We don't want it to be exposed, because then it's too horrible, it's too awful. And surely as a believer, I think every believer has experienced this, where you fall into some kind of sin, or you jump into some kind of sin, and then you feel awful about it. You know, when God saves a person, he doesn't fix it so you can't sin anymore. He fixes it so you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. That's one of the ways you know you're a Christian. Your attitude towards sin changes, and you bring this before the Lord, and you're just so ashamed, and there's just such a tremendous sense of God, I just feel like you should kill me for this, because I have sinned so greatly. You know, when David was exposed with his sin in 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan the prophet goes and says, this is what you did. And David said, I have sinned. And Nathan said, the Lord has taken away your sin, you shall not die. So what do we do when we get exposed? So for instance, I mentioned about that seminary professor who was on that Ashley Madison list some years ago and got exposed. His name was out there. He had a wonderful wife and a family, and he's a seminary professor, and he's a true believer in the Lord Jesus, and he's teaching other guys, but he has this secret sin. And the secret sin got exposed, And what do you do when that happens? Because what if everything in your life got exposed? What if everything in my life got exposed? Somebody said one time, what if there was like a monitor on top of your head that just flashed for everyone to see all your thoughts and everything that you were thinking, all your lustful thoughts, all your hateful thoughts, all your jealous, envious thoughts, everything, that everybody could see that? Boy, we would not want to leave the house. We'd be like, I can't. I mean, people would see everything that I'm thinking. That would be awful. That's what God sees. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. God sees all that. So the scripture says this in Psalm 130. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. The conclusion, Solomon said in the book, the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Now, there's another principle in Scripture, wonderful principle, Proverbs chapter, I think it's 28, verse 13. Yes, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. If you conceal, if you cover up your transgressions, you're not going to prosper. It's like trying to bury toxic waste. That's not going to work. That's going to poison everything. But if you get it out, you get it out of the shadows, you bring it before the Lord, he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So I always think about the man in Scripture in the book of Joshua, when they went into Jericho. You know, the Lord said, everything in Jericho is under the ban. It belongs to me. Don't take any of the spoil. But there was a man named Achan, A-C-H-A-N, Achan. And Achan took things that belonged to God, and nobody knew. Joshua didn't know. Nobody knew except Achan and his wife and his family, because they all paid the price. But then they went to fight Ai. Jericho was a big fortified city. They won that battle, and because God brought the walls down and God gave them the victory. And then they go fight little piddly Ai. It's a little dinky town. Don't even send all the troops. We don't need to. It's just, it's, the town is kind of like the name, just two letters. It's just, Division II town, so to speak, junior varsity team. We can just mop them up, no problem. It's kind of like when Georgia played the third string at Florida State and beat them 63-3. It's one of those deals. Well, they get routed at Ai, and Joshua doesn't understand. And the Lord tells Joshua, hey, Israel has sinned, and somebody has taken something under the ban. And so, what are they going to do? This is what God says. Joshua, rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves, set yourselves apart for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. Those things belong to me, God, and you've taken, you've stolen from me, and I'm not going to bless you, and I'm not going to defeat your enemies as long as this sin remains. And so in the morning, then you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. God is going to whittle it down. First, he's going to figure out which tribe, and then he's going to show the people which family, and then he's going to show the people which household, and then he's going to show the person or the people which man sinned. And it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed as a disgraceful thing in Israel. Big time sin. Well, Achan was the one that did it. And so what happens? Well, it happened just like God said. They cast lots, and all of a sudden it went to Achan's tribe, and then it went to Achan's family, and then it went to Achan's household. And the Bible says that Joshua said to Achan, Finally, when it was revealed, it was Achan. He said, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord your God and give praise to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle, a coat from Shinar, which is Babylon, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them." Commandment number 10, you shall not covet. "Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." He tried to conceal his sin. Proverbs 28:13, "He who conceals covers his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." Now here's the thing. If I cover our sin, God will uncover it, and it will be embarrassing and shameful and awful. You're covering it over. God says, "Well, I see that it's there, and I'm going to uncover it." But if you confess it and forsake it, if you uncover it to the Lord covers it in his blood. He washes it white as snow. "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Nobody. You can't, I can't, the Apostle Paul couldn't. Nobody can. But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And when we fear him, we go back to what Solomon said, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments. Hey, it is a good thing to pray, especially at the start of this year, to pray, "God, increase my fear of you." Doesn't mean you're afraid of God. God is our Father. He's our loving Father. "If you being evil," Jesus said, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" We don't need to be afraid of God, but we do need to fear God. Give him the ultimate respect, the utmost respect, the highest honor that we can possibly give. You know, I use this illustration a lot when it comes to the fear of the Lord. Many of you, no doubt, unless you're in your car, you're surrounded by electricity. And, you know, even in your car, your battery-powered electricity. But we're surrounded by electricity. And nobody is scared to death. I'm sitting in a room right now. The lights are on. The electricity's going. I'm not scared of electricity. I'm enjoying the electricity. But here's the thing I don't do with electricity. I don't take paper clips and stick them in the light socket. I don't grab onto a live wire. Why? Because I know that that will hurt me. I know that that is a foolish thing to do, because electricity is wonderful, but it's also very powerful. And if you play around with electricity, you're going to be the loser. And so God is like that in a way, or in a very crude illustration. God is like that. We enjoy the Lord, but we don't presume on the Lord. We don't treat God like he's, just an old shoe, like we can do anything we want. God is like live electricity, and you always come with reverence, with awe, with respect before the Lord. And as one man said, "What is the fear of the Lord? It is love on its knees." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's acknowledging God is God and you're not God. And as you recognize who God is, then you respond to him appropriately. And when you receive his love, then you love him back. We love because he first loved us. And when you love the Lord, the evidence that you really love him is that you obey him. So remember those three things: fear, love, and obedience. They go together, and you can't separate those out. If you say you love the Lord, but you don't fear the Lord, you don't really love the Lord. If you say you love the Lord and you don't obey the Lord, you don't really love the Lord. You have to understand who God is to respond to him. And God is the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. So, hey, what do we do because of Numbers 32:23, that is so true? Be sure your sin will find you out. What do you do if you have sowed to the flesh? You confess it. to God. You get it out of the shadows. You bring it before the Lord. You confess, Lord, I have sinned. You don't hold on to that. You don't try and cover it up. You don't try and say, well, I think this will just heal itself over time. It doesn't. You have to have that one-on-one with the Lord. Peter denied the Lord three times at the Lord's greatest hour of need when he was there in after he got arrested, and he's there at the garden area with Caiaphas and Annas and the home of the high priest, and Peter was there and denied the Lord three times. Well, the last chapter of John, the Lord restores Peter, and he asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? There had to be a reconciliation of the sin. You denied three times. We're going to deal with this and make sure that it's right so that I can use you, because God can't use you and can't use me the way he wants to if we're concealing sin. Because if you conceal sin and transgression in your heart, you will not prosper, and God can't use you. And we do what the scripture says not to do. 1 John chapter 1, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, bring everything out of the darkness into the light, we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's not you and me having fellowship together. That's you and God, me and God. We have fellowship with God, with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He washes white as snow. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Psalm 130. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Hey, wouldn't it be great to add to your prayers every single day, God, help me to see you as you are so that I would fear you with all of my heart. Because if I fear you, then I will love you and obey you. Those three things go together. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. And God will bless you and bless me as we deal with sin. We can't hide it. Because be sure your sin will find you out. And remember this too. So Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, on the negative side is if you sow to the flesh, you'll from the flesh reap corruption. The positive side, if you sow to the Spirit, you will from the Spirit reap eternal life. John 15, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And we can sow those things and reap those things as we sow to the Spirit. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines. I'd love to talk to you. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And maybe you have a question or a comment about this subject. Be sure your sin will find you out. Listen, it says in the book of Proverbs that he who walks in integrity walks securely. And when we walk in integrity, when everything is in the light, we have nothing to hide and nothing to fear, because we have confessed everything to the Lord and we're living a life that is pleasing to him. We're dealing with sin. 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23. So true. It's a dictum from the Word of God. And we like to think that we can get away with sin. That's just kind of the human mindset. Well, I can get away with it. And we hear those lies from the devil. Oh, you can do it. You can get away with it. It's going to be okay. God will forgive you. And then you commit that sin. And what happens? And the devil says, God will never forgive you. You're not going to get away with this. Look what you did. You need to quit going to church. You need to shut your Bible. You're a terrible, horrible person. And the devil will cripple you, and then you blame you for limping, so to speak. And we need to quit listening to the lies of the devil and listen to the truth of God. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment, or you want to just share just a brief testimony of how God forgave you so great a debt. You know, when we think about fearing the Lord, and we think about the sin of Achan, how he tried to cover over his sin. And when you cover your sin, what happens? God uncovers it. He reveals it, and it is a shameful, horrible thing. And it doesn't just affect you, it affects your whole family. It affected Achan's whole family. And so that is awful. But when we uncover our sin, when we confess our sin to the Lord, what does he do? He covers it in his blood. He washes it white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, I always go back to Luke chapter 7 in my mind when we talk about uncovering sin. You know, Luke 7, chapter of scripture ends with the woman coming to Jesus, who was at the Pharisee's house, Simon the Pharisee, and she was an immoral woman, and she wept at his feet, and she broke the alabaster vial of perfume on his feet, and she wept tears and wiped his feet with her hair. You know, letting down her hair, that was a faux pas in that time period. You didn't do that. But here she is. She lets down her hair. She doesn't care what people think about her. She just wants to be right with Jesus. She never says a word from what we can read in the account. But what does he say to her? He says to her, first, Simon is just appalled that he would let this woman touch him. If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she's a sinner. She's awful. Simon didn't think of himself as a sinner, but this woman is a sinner. And Jesus said to him, hey, I want to say something to you. And he said, say it, teacher. And he said, a certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 days' wages and the other 50. When they were both unable to pay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? And Simon said, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. It's not a trick question. He said, you've answered rightly. He said, now you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. That was the custom of the day. They wore sandals and walked on dirt roads, and so their feet would get dusty. You gave me no water for my feet and washed my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. That was the custom of the day, to kiss those who come into your house on either sides of the cheek, and either side of the cheek. And so he says, you gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. That was the custom. But she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many. Jesus isn't whitewashing her record. Her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little. And then he says to her, now these three things, this is what we need to remember when we sin and we confess our sin. When we turn, he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13, your sins have been forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does forgive when we confess. When we, that word homologeo, confess, means to say the same thing. When we call sin, sin, just as God does. We don't call it a glandular malfunction. We don't call it a minor mistake. We call it sin. Lord, I sinned. Lord, I lusted. Lord, I was greedy. Lord, I cheated. Lord, I lied. We name it and we bring it before him. Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you, he says to her. Go in peace. Go in peace. Don't go away in shame. Don't go away in guilt. Don't go away condemned. He didn't give her a scarlet A and says, okay, now, unnamed lady, I'm going to call you Hester Prynne. From the book by Nathaniel Hawthorne, The Scarlet Letter. Here's your scarlet A to wear everywhere you go so everybody knows that you're an adulteress, you're an immoral woman, you're abominable. A can stand for lots of things there. He says, no, go in peace. Don't go away hungover because of your sin. Oh, I'm a terrible person. No, your sins have been forgiven. Now, did she deserve that? No. Do you deserve it? No. Do I deserve it? No. But that's the grace of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gives his testimony. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered faithful putting me into service. Even though, let me tell you about my background, Paul says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, and yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all, among whom I am chief. And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul was a testimony of God's grace. And Paul's testimony was basically this: if God can save me, if he can forgive me, the chief of sinners, he can forgive you. He can forgive anybody. Luke 7, if that woman who was an immoral woman, she was a prostitute, she had become a dirty plaything of even dirtier men. If that woman can be forgiven, hey, good news, you can be forgiven too. You can know that your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you. You can go in peace. You can live a life without guilt and shame, because you bring all that before the Lord. You uncover your sin and he covers it in his blood. And what does that do? What does forgiveness do? If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And as we fear God, as we revere God, as we have so much respect for God, we stay away from sin. Because when we're tempted in sin, wait, the fear of the Lord floods our mind and floods our heart, and we say no to those things. Because God's ways are right concerning everything. And God, when we follow him, we know that he has what's best for us. Sin always takes us. I tell the church this all the time. I tell myself this all the time. Where does sin lead? It leads every single time down the same path. It's the path of the pigsty. It, just like the prodigal, he leaves, and there's fun and games along the way. There's thrills and wine, women, and song, and there's pleasure in sin, but it's temporary pleasure. As it says in the book of Hebrews, that Moses said no to the passing pleasures of sin. There's sin always has a price tag to it. It's a passing pleasure. It's like a ride at Disney World. It's fun for the moment, but the moment is gone. And whether it lasts for a ride 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, it's short lived. And then you end up at the pigsty, and you end up hating life, and no one's giving anything to you, and you're seeing your life, and you're saying, could it be any worse? Here I am at the pigsty. I'm longing to eat the pig slop. How did I get to this place? As one woman told me years ago, who gave herself over to drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality, she said, I hate my life. I hate my life. It's awful. Yeah, you don't hear that from a Christian who has a person who has sown to the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit, and you will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption and rottenness. You'll end up at the pigsty. You'll end up hating things in your life. and you'll just wish you were dead. But that's a horrible place to be, because if you die in your sins, you die and go to hell. I'm not talking about a believer who has strayed. I'm talking about an unbeliever. You die in your sins. You're Judas Iscariot. You go kill yourself. Well, you trying to escape the hell within you, you enter into the hell before you. And so much better at the pigsty to come to your senses and return to the Lord and confess your sin and turn from your sin and receive his forgiveness. You do what the woman did in Luke 7. You weep at his feet and you pour out your heart to him and you receive his forgiveness. Well, we have Pam on the line from Mississippi. Pam, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and I really appreciate your preaching and teaching over the airwaves. And I know you've had a lady on before who spoke about having abortion in her past, but I think that's one of a sin that is covered in darkness and shame, and that Satan uses that darkness and shame to keep us from confessing it to others, because we are so filled with shame. And I just want to give God the glory that he used a pastor and a Bible preaching church to make me realize the gravity of my sin, but also the grace and the forgiveness, as you spoke of, that is ours when we confess that sin, but also we have to confess it to other believers. And I was brought to a recovery group, a Bible-based recovery group that is available to anybody listening out there, men or women, moms and dads who were involved in their daughters' abortions, whoever is involved and affected by abortion, there is healing and recovery, and you can find out some of these groups from your local crisis pregnancy centers. Most of them have those available, and the healing is so freeing. And it took me 45 years to get to the point to where I could bring this terrible sin out to the in the open. But I've been able to help other people because of finally I was given over to confessing it and getting healing for myself.
Amen. Amen. So what was the name of the group, Pam?
Pardon?
Was it a particular program that you went to, or...
Well, the particular one that our local crisis pregnancy center was using at that time was Forgiven and Set Free.
Okay.
And it was a 13-week intensive Bible-based recovery program. And it just covered everything that you can't even imagine that's involved with your abortion. You know, the anger, guilt, even hatred for people who might have been involved with you. Anyway, forgiveness, it was just wonderful. And there's other ones now. Save One is a current one that's geared towards women and men, and that's a real good one also. Mm-hmm. And it's biblically based also.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word, Pam. I know that, there are certain sins that are they just stick. It takes almost like more faith, if we could use that term, to rid yourself of the guilt. Now, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Psalm 32:5 is a great verse for guilt. It says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may..." Not that one. Psalm 30, "I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." That sin is forgiven. It's washed away. And I think, Pam, that woman in Luke 7 that's not even named, she's just not given a name. It's not Mary Magdalene. This woman doesn't have a name in Luke 7. But I think she's a picture of all of us who feel the slimy fingerprints of sin because of sexual sin, abortion, terrible, horrible things that we just, it's just hard for our minds to even go there, that I did that. This is so awful. But here's the thing. The Lord's blood never loses its power, and he is able to wipe and wash white as snow. And the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." If you consent and obey, you'll eat the finest of the land. But if you refuse and you rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He offers forgiveness, complete forgiveness, to anyone who'll come to him in repentance and faith. Thank you so much for calling, Pam, and thank you for sharing that testimony. And God bless you, and may the Lord use you in great ways. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. So go out this day, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.